Well, today we have the feast day of one of the newest saints in the Catholic Church, Saint Josephine Bakita. What's very unique about Josephine is she was from the Sudan. She had been a slave, and then, as I'll describe her life to you, we see she became a religious sister and of course, a great saint. So she is a wonderful saint. I would really recommend you getting a copy of this book called Modern Saints, Their Lives and Faces. Because what's so interesting is how many photographs they have of the different saints in this book. And these are all modern saints the last couple hundred years. This is volume two. Volume one is excellent as well. And there might even be a third volume. But let's take a look at St. Josephine Bakita. She was born in the Sudan, Central Africa, about the year 1869. Nobody really knows when she was born. She herself did not know the exact date of her death. She was captured, kidnapped, stolen by slave traders, Arab slave traders, when she was 9 years old. She was out working in the field, gathering herbs. Her older sister had also previously been captured by the slave traders. When she was captured, they asked her name. She remained silent. And so the Arabs began laughing, and they named her Bakita, which means the lucky one. Now, of course, she did not consider herself very lucky at this point in her life, but you see, eventually the hand of God would be revealed to her. After she was captured, a little while later, she and another girl tried to escape. They actually had to spend a night up in a tree because there was a lion at the base of the tree, so they slept in a tree one night. Eventually, they were recaptured by other slave traders and then taken to the slave market. And the merchant himself thought Bakita was just a lovely young girl, so he bought her as a gift for her daughter and for his daughter. And then so she became the maid in the family. Her personality was very gentle and dignified. She had a beautiful smile. She was very popular, and things were going along pretty well until she accidentally broke a vase. Actually, Bishop Sheen says if it's expensive, it's a vase. If it's cheap, it's a vase. So she broke a vase, and she was beaten very badly, and then they sold her, and she was then bought by a Turkish officer and his family. And here's where she had a very difficult living situation, because the woman of the house continually beat and flogged Bakita, tattooed her, and treated her, of course, as property and possession. Eventually, she was sold and then bought by an Italian vice consul. Here was a very kindly man who treated her as a daughter. And he even tried to send her back home to find her family, but she had no idea what her original name was. And so he was able to take her to Italy to live with the family. They went to Genoa, Italy, and there she had other children to play with and to be with. And now she was 14. This family owned a hotel near the Red Sea, and the plan was that she would go there to be the waitress. But before they moved to the hotel, the Italian consul felt it be very important to introduce the Christian faith to Bakita, and so she would be allowed to stay in Italy and get some Christian instruction. And then if she felt called to get baptized, they would allow her to get baptized. So they sent her to the boarding school at the Venetian Convent of the Daughters of Charity in Kenosha. And so technically, though, Bakita was a Muslim. And so she entered the convent, and as soon as she entered the convent, she knew she was at home. She was so much at peace, and she knew that this was where she wanted to be. She got to know about Jesus and about Mary and the saints. She still had great purity of heart, and the gospel that was planted in her heart began to grow and spread, and she loved her faith. She was able to, she asked for baptism. She got baptized. And then it says, nothing short of physical force would make her leave the sisters. She loved this convent so much. Now, the big question was, what would happen to her? would she have to, let's say, leave, and would she still be considered a slave? So they had to bring the cardinal patriarch involved, and they got the civil authorities involved on whether or not she'd be allowed to stay in this convent. And it was decided legally under Italian law, since slavery was illegal in Italy, as soon as she came on Italian soil, she was freed. So she was no longer a slave, and she decided to remain in the convent as a free woman. So as I mentioned, she was baptized by the cardinal, and then she lived as a Canossian sister. So happy, her cheerful smile, her kindness, her kind words to everyone, her purity of heart, her love of God. She says, if I had known it, this love of God, when I was a slave, I would never have suffered so much. So she remained in this convent for the rest of her life. She died at the age of 78. The last number of years, she was asked to go out and on lecture tours to gain support for the foreign missions. And she would always end her talks by saying, be good, love God, and pray for the pagans. So she obviously didn't like to go out and give the speeches. She considered it a slow martyrdom, but she was obedient to her superiors, and she knew that her talks would help the people of Africa by sending them missionaries and helping them out. So at the end of her life, she would spend 50 years as a Canossian sister, very similar to St. Therese, doing the ordinary duties. She was a cook, she did the laundry, she answered the door, she was a friend of the poor, the little ones, the suffering, the abandoned. People would tell of miracles that she had worked. She would always place her hands upon the children's head and pray for them. So she was known for her cheerfulness, her patience, and she was described as pure as an angel and as meek as a lamb. So in the end, we do see that she was the lucky one, right? She was able to, that God brought good out of evil, out of the evil of the slave trade. She, you know, was brought to Italy, where she became a Christian, a Catholic, a nun, and a saint. So what a remarkable story. Saint Josephine Baghita, pray for us.